Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 13. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is the text. As we hear those words from the letter to the Hebrews, we tend to immediately tune in to the words that we know represent aspects of what God considers to be appropriate Christian behavior. You know, do not be sexually immoral. Be free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Covetousness and greed are idolatry, as Scripture says. We know this and we preach this. But when you read the greater context of these words and we listen to the whole message of what is being said there in the letter to the Hebrews, we see that we are given more than just a list of what we should not do. The nature of God's law is not simply a set of rules saying, don't do this, don't do that. Here in our epistle reading, we begin with what we should do. Show mercy and forgiveness to others through actions, not just words. It's what we do with our time, with our bodies, with our possessions that really demonstrates the health of our relationship with God. It is the exercise of our faith. And we look at how we give thanks to God. And of course, since biblical times, the people of God have promoted the good practice of giving thanks to God through tithing, you know, giving 10%. Of what they earn. And that is spoken of, you know, throughout Scripture and has been a common practice for thousands of years. But in addition to that, I have for a long time been a strong advocate to remember to tithe your time, because that's my most valuable commodity. And I'll have to say that I often am very guilty of forgetting to do that. And I have to keep reminding myself to do that. Because if I can spend an hour, you know, watching a TV show or clicking around on the internet, I can spend 6 minutes, which would be 10% of that, either reading Scripture or having a devotion with my family, picking up the phone, calling someone who's sick or homebound. But these aren't just things that pastors do. This is meant for all of God's people. We hear these words from the letter to the Hebrews. Go and visit. Even those who are in prison. And we can look at prison a lot of different ways. Not just the ones who are locked up behind bars, but I assure you, there are people who are in and among you who are lonely, who are depressed, who feel as though they are in prison. And you have an opportunity to visit them and exercise your faith in showing yourself or showing them, you know, the love of God through you. I will be honest, as I look at my own life in regard to this, having a regular prayer or devotion life, excuse me, beyond my weekly studies and all of all that I do in preparation for Bible classes and sermons and everything, having that regular prayer and devotion life with my own family outside of bedtime prayers has been a struggle, especially in recent years. I mean, when the girls were younger, you know, reading scripture to them or singing hymns, and that was almost a daily occurrence. And then our schedules got busier, and regular times for doing that became more of a challenge. And I say this, you know, I am a poor, miserable sinner. Because no matter how hard we try, we always look and say, oh, I could do more. And we don't want to just sit and beat ourselves up, you know, and drive ourselves crazy saying, you know, that, oh, if you just would have done a little more, things would have turned out different. That's not what I'm saying. But when we look at our lives in light of what God has given us, especially having given us His Word of Holy Scripture, being able to share that with others is a privilege. It's a joy. And we are continually reminded that this is what those who are around us need to hear. And we are continually reminded of just how totally corrupt we are. And to hear that message that God sent His Son to take away the guilt of our sin, to separate it from us, so that we can stand before God in righteousness and innocence. That is a message that all need to hear. And it is a joy to be able to share that. Now, no matter how hard we try, we don't show kindness as we should to everyone. We don't keep our bodies pure as we should. We really, I think, don't give ourselves an honest assessment of just how selfish we really are. And maybe we do spend far more time and money on our own toys and our own pleasures than we do in giving to others and returning thanks to the Lord. And we all have our vices through which we grieve the Lord on a daily basis. We look at our lives, we look into that mirror of the law. It is so comforting to be reminded of how amazing God's love and forgiveness truly is. As we look at the selfishness of who we are, and we are told from our Lord, He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. God's love and compassion is absolute. And it, is, of course, is most clearly demonstrated in the sending of His Son to suffer and die in our place, so that we will never have to stand before the judgment seat of God and be charged with each of our transgressions, down to every careless word we have spoken, as Scripture says, let alone all the things we have done or left undone. However, in our day-to-day life, God also shows love and compassion to us in a very different way than the world would interpret love and compassion. God says that showing love, compassion, and forgiveness is visiting a criminal in prison. Love and compassion and forgiveness is not shown by releasing a criminal from prison before he has served his due time. We look at this in regard to our society, and we see how the culture around us wants to excuse immoral behavior in the name of love and forgiveness. And anyone who dares to point out sin as being sin, or labels immoral behavior as being wrong in the eyes of God, and therefore being wrong in an absolute sense, we're called unforgiving, unloving, uncaring. But showing love is, as we hear in the letter to the Hebrews, it's visiting and comforting the person who is in prison, who is suffering for what they have done. It's not seen in justifying the behavior that landed them in prison. Showing love is not an easy thing to do. And if loving were easy, raising children would be easy. You love them. You discipline them. Not in spite of loving them, but because you love them. And we learn this from how our Father in heaven deals with us. We read in our epistle lesson last week, also from the letter to the Hebrews. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." This is written to a community of believers who were enduring hardship and persecution at the hands of the Romans and the Jews, and they were suffering in ways that, thankfully, we have never had to experience. Some of the people who were in prison were there for their faith, not for their actions. And the letter continues. What son is not disciplined by his father? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We are God's true children. We are his legitimate heirs, as Scripture says. He rebukes us. When we sin, he tells us we are wrong. That's what the law does. He disciplines us when we sin. He sends us trials and difficulties to keep us humble and reliant upon him for all things, just in the same way that we place obstacles in the way of our own children as they grow up so that they can learn to overcome certain things. When a child's an infant, you carry them around. When they start walking, you allow them to walk, even though they're going to fall flat on their face. God does the same thing with us. He allows us to stumble. But the promise is sure, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He sends us trials and difficulties, and as Luther says in the Catechism, all this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. Rebuking us, telling us when we're wrong, shows his love. Sending trials and difficulties shows his love and mercy. The world around us doesn't understand this and is offended at the very notion that discipline, sacrifice, even hardship are positive influences in our lives. But the Lord tells us, you will suffer difficulties, trials of many kinds, and your mortal bodies will one day even die on account of Adam's sin and your sin, unless Christ, the second Adam, returns first. But his promise is sure. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.